Now from the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Friday, September 13th. Heavy rains this morning have prompted some evacuations down Truth or Consequences Way in Sierra County. Their civic center has been opened as a receiving area. Meanwhile, closer to our area, the Department of Transportation has closed New Mexico 283 and State Road 65 west of Las Vegas due to road flooding and heavy rains. In Los Alamos along New Mexico 502, flooding there has deposited mud and debris along the roadway. Crews are attempting cleanup, but motorists are advised there will be delays. And KOB-TV's website reports that some 4,200 PNM customers in southwest Albuquerque went without power for a time this morning after an electric equipment failure due to flooding. Crews have since managed to bring everyone back online. Competing radio ads are airing in New Mexico regarding the Human Services Department cutoff of Medicaid payments to in-state providers of mental health and substance abuse services pending an investigation of fraud. One by nonprofit group New Mexico Competes lauds the Martinez administration for cracking down on Medicaid abuses. The other by nonprofit Resources for Change Policy Works criticizes Martinez for creating unnecessary havoc for the state's recipients of behavioral health care without having strong evidence of wrongdoing by providers. A fraud investigation by the Attorney General's office is currently underway. A new report from New Mexico Voices for Children says that New Mexico has made the fifth largest per student inflation-adjusted spending cuts to K-12 education in the U.S. since the start of the recession. Education spending increases for fiscal year 2014 restore less than 8% of the amount cut since 2008. We'll have a conversation with New Mexico Voices for Children about the study coming up a bit later as At Noon continues. Meanwhile, at the Center for Progress and Justice in Santa Fe next Wednesday, the president of the school board and the school superintendent will discuss the lack of sufficient school funding by the state as required by the state constitution. From Taos comes word that some 44 employees of Holy Cross Hospital, run by Taos Health Systems, will be laid off due to budgetary concerns. The Taos News says the layoffs come as a result of a strategic plan that will also see a downsizing of intensive care and observation units. That leaves the hospital with 29 beds. The hospital's CEO says the number of patients has been declining in recent years, with 23 admissions per day in 2011, now down to 17 this year. Over the past 4 years, staff at Holy Cross has been reduced by some 60 employees. Governor Susana Martinez is making public appearances today downstate in Hobbs. The governor conducted a town hall meeting there this morning. She'll remain in the area through the evening when she officiates at Lee County's 50th anniversary celebration at the County Event Center beginning at 6 p.m. New Mexico's Supreme Court has ruled in favor of an Albuquerque theater whose showing of an adult film landed it in hot water for violating a Duke City zoning ordinance limiting where such films can be shown. It began with the Guild Cinema's presentation of a weekend festival of adult films billed as Pornotopia. The city imposed a fine of $500. The state's high court declared as the presentation was not representative of the theater's usual fare, it could not be considered an adult amusement establishment, and thus the zoning rule did not apply. The Santa Fe Board of County Commissioners has extended the application deadline for individuals interested in being nominated for the District 50 state representative seat. It became vacant back in August when Representative Stephen Easley passed away. Applicants must be 21 and live within the district, which spans portions of Santa Fe, Bernalillo, Torrance, and Valencia counties. Resumes and letters of interest will be accepted up to September 27th, with a nomination to be made October 8th. Governor Martinez will ultimately select Easley's replacement. Local close encounters with bears in Santa Fe continue. Santa Fe police report that a 13th bear in the past 9 days set up camp Thursday in a backyard on Callejon Amelia. The young 200-pound female was tranquilized by New Mexico Game and Fish officers who will be releasing her back into the wild. Authorities, meanwhile, are urging residents to bring bird feeders, pet food, and small animals indoors, especially during overnight hours. And weather for Santa Fe, more rain likely through tomorrow, says meteorologist Jason Frazier at the National Weather Service office in Albuquerque.
We are under a flash flood watch. This is in effect until 10 p.m. this evening. Rainfall totals for the day, the Albuquerque to Santa Fe area, potentially another inch to maybe another 3 inches just in this 24-hour period today through, say, tomorrow morning.
Mostly cloudy skies today, an 80% chance for showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the mid-60s, a 60% chance for precipitation this evening. For the weekend, Saturday will be partly sunny with highs in the low 70s and a 50% chance for showers. Sunday will be a little drier with precipitation probabilities pegged at just 30%. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature, now 56 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
This is Martha Burke, host of Equal Time. Join me weekly for 2 minutes of Equal Time commentary every Saturday during the Bob Edwards Show. We'll explore politics, public affairs, and what's new in the news. Be with us, 2 minutes of Equal Time, right before 8 a.m. every Saturday during the Bob Edwards Show. Don't miss it.
It's a world of diversity on KSFR.
13 minutes past the hour as At Noon on KSFR segues to today's feature stories. A recent study puts New Mexico near the top of the list nationally for the depth of funding cuts to K-12 education. Joining us now to discuss this is James Jimenez, who is the Director for Policy and Research for New Mexico Voices for Children. James, tell us about these cuts.
It's rather disappointing to see that, unfortunately, New Mexico ranks with some of the poorest states in terms of the amount that we've cut from our education budget, particularly our K-12 system, where we've cut about $874 per student between the fiscal years 2008 and 2014. Really, only four states have made larger cuts. So that puts us in a category that is not a good place nationally in terms of supporting our K-12 system.
There have been a number of cuts to educational funding in the past few years. At this point, what else can be cut?
Well, what we think that the legislature needs to do is to sort of recommit to funding our human capital efforts. And rather than cutting, they actually need to continue to increase the budgets for a K-12 system. You're right. The school districts have been really cut severely over the past few years. But we're through the recession now. The economy is improving. And it's time to have a more balanced approach to economic development, where we're actually investing in human beings and developing the skills here that over the long run are really going to make the biggest difference.
Any idea what justification the state has for further cuts?
Frankly, we don't think that there is further justification for any additional cuts. What needs to happen is a more balanced approach to economic development. We need to recognize that we can't tax cut our way to prosperity. Really, the one tried and true way to develop a very strong, viable economy is investing in people. And that's what we need to be doing, as opposed to continuing to cut our education budgets, because these cuts for our K-12 system don't even speak to the large cuts we've already made to a higher education system. Our colleges and universities that have been hurting too. It's really time for the legislature to step up and refund those budgets at levels that allow us to develop the human capital that support good, strong economic development.
And what plans does your organization have for the next legislative session?
Well, New Mexico Voices for Children, and along with many other partners, will be advocating for additional funding for our public school system in addition to our higher education system, but certainly funding for education is an important part of the state budget every year.
And what are some of the consequences of these rate cuts to education?
Not all children learn in the same way and at the same rate. And so when we require our public school teachers to have larger and larger classrooms, it doesn't allow them to give the kind of attention that each and every one of those students in their classroom deserves, and recognizing that each one of them has a different learning style. So when they're stuck with classrooms of 20, 25 to 30 students, you know, it's really a no-win situation for both the teachers and the students themselves. And it's really setting them up for if not failure, certainly not the kind of success that they could be achieving in the future if they had more of that individual attention.
And what does New Mexico Voices for Children put forth in terms of citizen action on the matter?
Well, I think legislators need to hear that tax cuts are not the way to achieve long-term prosperity for New Mexico, and that if we're really going to be successful as a state, we need a much better balanced approach to economic development, and that has to include adequately funding our K-12 system and our higher education system. That, I think, is a really important message that, for our legislators to hear.
James Jimenez of New Mexico Voices for Children, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR. More of At Noon for you in just a moment.
Discover the diverse and outstanding art of the three cultures of the Powaki Valley at the Powaki River Art Tour, September 21st and 22nd. The 20th anniversary reception takes place on Friday from 5 to 8 at the Thon Povey Gallery and includes a silent auction. The tour starts just 15 miles north of Santa Fe and can be done in a day by car or bike. Map and information at PowakiRiverArtTour.com. A message from the nonprofit Powaki River Art Tour.
17 minutes past the hour here at KSFR as At Noon continues. The death in August of State District 50 Representative Stephen Easley created a legislative vacancy that needs to be filled for the remainder of his term. To that end, Santa Fe County's Board of Commissioners announced some weeks ago that they were taking resumes and letters of interest from folks putting themselves forward for the job. Originally, there had been a deadline set as of September 9th, which has now been extended. Joining us now to talk more about this is Christine Mihelsik, Santa Fe County Public Information Specialist. Christine, tell us about the search for a replacement thus far.
Yes, Santa Fe County originally sent out a press release inviting individuals that were interested in filling the vacancy or being nominated to fill the vacancy to submit a letter of interest and a resume. And from that original request, we did receive 5 interested applicants.
And what are the requirements for an individual to be considered a viable potential replacement nominee?
Okay, well, individuals interested in being considered by law must be at least 21 years of age and live within the District 50 areas. So that's Santa Fe County, Bernalillo County, Torrance County, or Valencia Counties. And as most residents know, what happens is whenever there is a vacancy such as this, the county commission from each county will actually select a nominee and then present that to the governor. And the governor will make the final decision. So at this time, that's what Santa Fe County is doing, is accepting applicants so that they can nominate an individual to be considered for the seat. And, of course, the governor will have the final say on that.
So this is a process also happening among your counterparts in all other counties that are included in District 50.
Yes, they are doing a similar search for applicants as well. And at this time, the governor has not set a deadline for when she would like to receive the nominees, and that was one of the reasons the commission decided to extend the application time for individuals who are interested. So right now, the board will be accepting letters of interest and resumes until Friday, September 27th. And then at that time, they'll review the applicants, the new applicants, if we receive any, and they'll make a nomination October 8th for their regular scheduled BCC meeting.
And it should also be noted that interested individuals can be of any party affiliation. Anything else you want folks to know?
If anyone is interested, they need to submit a resume and a letter of interest, and they can mail that. Attention Catherine Miller, County Manager, to the Santa Fe County Manager's Office. That's at 102 Grant Avenue, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87501. Of course, they don't have to mail it. They can drop one by as well to our office.
Christine Mihelsik for Santa Fe County, many thanks for joining us here at noon.
So you've just bought a new car, or are about to, and trading in the car you've been driving is optional. Consider donating that vehicle that has served your transportation needs so well. It can now provide for the financial needs of KSFR, our public radio station for Northern New Mexico and the world. Your used car can help us reach our goals. Call us during regular business hours at 428-1527.
1221 here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. The senior population of the country is rapidly growing, and of course, New Mexico is no exception. The increase is going to lead to the need for more resources, including funding for health care and other basic needs. Next week, the state will celebrate Senior Celebration at the New Mexico State Fair. One of the primary focuses of that day will be keeping seniors active, both mentally and physically. Miles Copeland is the Deputy Secretary of the Aging and Long-Term Services Department and joins us now. Mr. Copeland, how important is it at the state level to focus on keeping seniors active?
It's one of our top priorities here at the Aging and Long-Term Services Department and certainly for the Department of Health, making sure that our growing senior population stays healthy, stays active, stays independent. We're going to be the fourth largest state in terms of percentage of our population over 65 by the time we get to 2030. Our 65-plus population is set to double by 2030. So we just don't have any alternatives. I mean, we would love to see folks live happy, healthy, productive lives, and we always have and have put emphasis on this. But now we have to make sure, just as a society, that that actually happens, because keeping folks independent, making sure that their health care costs are low, and consequently that they're living good, productive lives well until their 70s, 80s, 90s, that's just the tack that we have to take. And so there are a lot of steps that we're taking throughout the state to make sure that that happens.
And what specific sort of interventions is the state involved in?
Well, we're very lucky to have a lot of great partners. Our area agencies on aging, and that's how we deliver your services to your local senior centers, they have introduced several different evidence-based programs in collaboration with the Aging Department and with the Department of Health to make sure that our seniors stay healthy, stay active. We've got one called Enhanced Fitness that's being delivered in partnership with New Mexico Senior Olympics throughout the state through your local senior centers. And it's been evidence-based to help increase functionality, reduce depressive symptoms, and overall keep people active. And it's a great exercise program that is designed specifically to keep seniors successful and independent. Right here in Santa Fe, at each of your local senior centers, we've got great fitness programs going on, too, from Tai Chi to Zumba, yoga, a lot of great different ways for seniors to get engaged, to stay healthy. And then beyond the straight exercise programs that we have, too, we've got lots of different engagement programs. The state of New Mexico and the Aging and Long-Term Services Department also focuses on sharing their knowledge throughout the state of New Mexico, and you can access those by giving us a call right here at the Aging and Long-Term Services Department, 1-866-451-2901. Again, 866-451-2901. Give us a call right here today.
What do you see as the greatest challenge ahead as far as the expanding senior population is concerned?
Well, we have to keep our aging population healthy, and we certainly appreciate KSFR in helping to get that message out. And that we do through a bunch of different ways. So our traditional senior services, like meals and transportation, those are essential in battling. Senior hunger is a big problem here in New Mexico, and transportation, over 90% of our folks who access transportation say that it helps to keep them living in their communities, and that relieves a big burden on the system, too. So managing chronic diseases is the other portion of that. We know that seniors who are dealing with food insecurity, they wind up much more susceptible to chronic diseases like obesity, even, which is sort of counterintuitive but exactly true, heart disease, dementia, including Alzheimer's. All of that are things that we are working to address here very hard. And thanks to our partners through the Area Agencies on Aging, they delivered over 3.5 million meals last year, both at your senior centers and to people in their homes. So that helps to keep folks independent, helps to keep them living quality lives as they age. Battling these chronic diseases, too, is essential for us as a society as this population grows older. Alzheimer's, which has been tabbed as your most expensive disease to care for here in America, to heart disease again, to obesity. All of these things have some modifiable risk factors that we are working to address with these exact sorts of fitness programs that I was describing earlier. So making sure that our seniors stay healthy, stay engaged, and if you're a senior listening out there, contacting your local senior centers here in Santa Fe and accessing all of these great programs that they have going on for you.
And if we might propose that if you had a magic wand, what would be your one wish for the aging population of our state?
That is a great question, and I think that we are already making that change in large part is to make folks see that it's not good enough simply to provide traditional senior services, which is definitely important, but we need for these folks to stay out there, to stay productive, and to stay employed. The way that we think about folks as they age just has to change, because as our baby boomers get older, we need as a society for them to stay healthy, to stay independent, to stay engaged in our communities. And it's always been important to engage our seniors in this way. But now, just by sheer volume, it is absolutely essential. So what I would do would be to keep them healthy, active, engaged, and independent. And those are the things that we are focused on here at the state of New Mexico and the Aging and Long-Term Services Department in particular.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, we want to make sure that folks join us out at the State Fair on Monday. It's Senior Appreciation and Celebration Day. We're going to have a parade that starts at the Red Barn and goes on down Main Street to the Indian Village, where we'll be having some demonstrations of those programs that I just talked about in terms of enhanced fitness. New Mexico Senior Olympics will be there, and the Department of Health is going to be there doing a lot of great health screenings for you that are all free. So come on out, and please take advantage of that Senior Celebration Day at the New Mexico State Fair on Monday.
Miles Copeland from Aging and Long-Term Services, many thanks for spending some time with us here today at KSFR.
Greetings, friends. This is Craig Barnes. I'm back. Well, at least I'm partly back. This Saturday morning, I will return to our times with a special edition to explore the invisible empire that sits on top of American politics and economics. It's the classic extractive empire of the giant financial industry. Saturday morning, 9 a.m. our times, here on KSFR.
Twenty-eight minutes past the hour here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. A large grant has been received by a researcher at the University of New Mexico Medical Center to improve genome mapping capabilities. Here is KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard with the story.
Research into the human genome, basically the genetic blueprint of ourselves, has made great strides in the last several years. Now, with a large grant, scientists at the University of New Mexico Medical Center are going to be working on ways to improve the process. Dr. Jeremy Edwards is with UNM.
We just received a grant, which is in some way a continuation of work that we have been doing for the past almost 10 years now in developing technologies for the Human Genome Project. As most people are now aware of, that the Human Genome Project has been completed, and now sequencing is being used in many new ways. It's being used in the clinic, for example. Lots of people are having their genome sequenced, and it's being used or being attempted to be used in dictating medical treatment. And so this idea of sequencing and human genome sequencing is really revolutionizing medicine. So the focus of our grant is really to try to eliminate some of the existing shortcomings in the technology. So, for example, the technology right now that is available can sequence huge amounts of DNA, but the individual reads or the pieces of information that are obtained are very short. So, for example, the human genome is 6 billion bases if you look at both sets of the chromosome, one that was inherited paternally and one paternally. And so that all together is about 6 billion bases. And the individual pieces of DNA that are read by the sequencers are only about 150 bases or so. And so it's very challenging to take all these small little short pieces and put it back together into the entire genome. And because of that, a lot of information is missed. And what we think is that with the technology we plan to develop, we should be able to basically take all these short reads and convert them to a very, very long read that will allow eventually for complete assemblies to be obtained of the genome, and will make the information much more useful in the clinic. The instrument that we will be using is a commercially available sequencer called the Proton, and actually it's not inexpensive. It's probably in the order of $200,000, but relatively speaking, that's inexpensive relative to other types of sequencers that are available right now that can be on the order of $1 million.
Hopes are that by studying the human genome, there can be some direct clinical benefits.
A lot of what we do, this is a little bit unrelated to the grant that we've received. The grant is really about getting developing a new technology. But in terms of using the technology in the clinic, I'm also a member of the Cancer Center, and one of our main goals is to develop ways to use genome sequencing to dictate treatment to cancer patients. Eventually, I foresee, in the not-too-distant future, everyone will have their genome sequenced, probably at birth. And from that, we should be able to, years of research that lie ahead, identify risk for various types of illnesses and diseases and hopefully dictate how one can live a lifestyle that might be more healthy given what their predispositions might be. That would be the goal, but we are not there yet, but I think we're getting much closer.
The results from the research funded by this grant shouldn't take too long to complete.
This grant, we think we should be using the technology, have it working, probably by about 2 years. And the grant is a total of 3 years. And in the third year, the idea is really start applying it, testing it, validating it, make sure everything's working as we think it should.
Dr. Jeremy Edwards with the University of New Mexico.
One of the exciting things I think about our technology is that it's totally agnostic to the machine platform that one uses. There are various competitors on the market, not competitors to me, but amongst one another, for people trying to get their machines out there. But the technology we're developing is totally independent of the machine one uses for the actual sequencing. So I would hope that eventually our technology could be adopted by all groups and applied by all groups, because it would only benefit everybody to have a more complete a picture of the genome.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:33 here at KSFR, the bottom of the hour, always the right time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
Here we are at the beginning of the pro football season. While there are some females who are indeed pro football fanatics, I think that you would agree with me that the vast majority of fanatic, fervent, fevered football fans are male. Of course, that only makes sense, since all pro football players are male, so far. But I'm conflicted about the beginning of pro football. First off, even though they've tried to cut back, the violence in pro football is still phenomenally high. Take it from me, it gets tiring handing out broken bones, ripped tendons, and concussions like free salsa at El Pinto during happy hour. Then there's the pain you feel for 72 hours after games. Believe me, I know so well. You feel like you've been run over by a city bus or a greyhound, which is also a bus only with teeth. The drugs help with the pain, maybe too much. During my years in pro football, I became addicted to the drugs, and I felt like a doper. Wow. I guess God really was doing me a favor when he didn't make me big and athletic. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
We now conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. This is Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. And we'll be back on Monday with more news of and for New Mexico for you. And as always, we hope you join us.